Hey there, and welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak, and it's great to have you back for another week of the show. Today is Monday, and we've got a great program for you. In addition to looking at the mass readings for Monday of the 14th week in Ordinary Time, I'm going to play an interview that I did actually earlier this morning on Spirit in the Morning, my morning show, with Bobby Schindler. Now, you may know Bobby. He's the brother of Terry Schiavo, very famous for standing up and defending the medically vulnerable. Bobby went over to London late last week to get involved in the Charlie Gard case. You probably are familiar with that case that's really captivating the world right now. Basically, what we have is a baby who is being denied medical treatment by the government because they feel that it's best to let him die, as they say, with dignity. Bobby contends, and many people contend on the other hand, that the government just wants to do away with this child so they don't have to support his care. I mean, it's amazing that we are facing this type of a scenario. The parents have raised the money to be able to take the child to the United States for some experimental treatment, and there has been evidence that this treatment may help him. It's a very difficult situation. It's not an easy case by any means, but there is some evidence that this treatment may help him. But the bottom line is, the parents raised the money to do this, to take him to the U.S. for this experimental treatment, but the government, this has been ruled on by the courts over in England, the government has said, no, you can't do that. Against the wishes of the parents, they are pretty much being told, we need to remove him from the ventilator and let him die. It's scary, scary stuff. So Bobby was kind enough to join us this morning direct from London, England, and we're going to replay that interview on this program because I want you to hear what he has to say. It's scary, and it's something that we all need to know. It's good that we want to learn more about our faith. It's good that we want to get to know Jesus Christ. We need to do that. As Catholics, we're called to do that, but we're also called to stand up for life. We're people of life. God is the author of life. He decides when life begins. He decides when life ends. And we're running into that conflict in the world now where that is not always the case. So I think it's important that we listen to what some people such as Bobby Schindler have to say. So we're going to play that for you later on today. In addition, as I said, I'm going to read the Mass readings from Daily Mass. I'm going to take a sip of my beverage du jour. I think this might be a new one. I'm not really sure. Today, that is a very good taste. Today, I have a cup of hazelnut coffee. Dunkin' Donuts hazelnut coffee, if you might, in case you're curious. But that's what my beverage du jour is. I hope you've got a good snack. Hope you got a beverage. Hope you're ready to talk about these Mass readings and to listen to 30 minutes of inspirational programming. It is a blessing to be here with you. I love doing this reincarnated version of the podcast. I hope you're enjoying it as well. I like the idea of mixing the interviews in because that way, if you're unable to hear my morning show, you're able to get some of these interviews because we are striving to bring some of the top names in the world of Catholicism to the program in the morning. And thanks be to God, we have been able to get some of those great names. Anyway, that's what you have in store for the rest of the program. Let's pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us once again to come on the air on Blog Talk Radio. We ask that you continue to bless this program and the work that we do here on Blog Talk Radio. Help us to be able to share the good news with an even larger audience every day. Help us all to face the problems that we encounter in our lives. We present our intentions to you, everything that we need, everything that we're stressed out about. Father, we give them to you. We ask for your help. We ask you to guide us in following your will each day. I ask you, Father in heaven, to speak through me on the program so that your message can be proclaimed over these airwaves. And we ask you to open our minds and our hearts so that we may be receptive to your message. And we ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, thanks for tuning in. I'm Gary Zimak. In case this is the first time you're tuning into the program, I want to welcome you to the show and let you know if you want to find out more about the work that I do, or maybe invite me to speak at your parish, which I would love to do, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. While you're there, check out the Mystic Monk Coffee that we offer for sale. Also, consider making a donation to keep this podcast free of charge. I would greatly appreciate that. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, let's look at these Mass readings now. These are Monday of the fourth week in Ordinary Time. Once again, the first reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 through 22. Jacob departed from Beersheba and proceeded toward Haran. When he came upon a certain shrine, as the sun had already set, he stopped there for the night. Taking one of the stones at the shrine, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep at that spot. Then he had a dream. A stairway rested on the ground, with its top reaching to the heavens, and God's messengers were going up and down on it. And there was the Lord standing beside him and saying, I, the Lord, am the God of your forefather Abraham, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you are lying I will give to you and your descendants. These shall be as plentiful as the dust of the earth, and through them you shall spread out east and west, north and south. In you and your descendants all the nations of the earth shall find blessing. Know that I am with you. I will protect you wherever you go, and bring you back to this land. I will never leave you until I have done what I promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he exclaimed, Truly, the Lord is in this spot, although I did not know it. In solemn wonder, he cried out, How awesome is this shrine! This is nothing else but an abode of God, and that is the gateway to heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head, set it up as a memorial stone, and poured oil on top of it. He called the site Bethel, whereas the former name of the town had been Luz. Jacob then made this vow, If God remains with me to protect me on this journey, I am making and to give me enough bread to eat and clothing to wear, and I come back safe to my father's house, the Lord shall be my God. This stone that I have set up as a memorial stone shall be God's abode. What we see is this continuing unfolding of God's plan of salvation. This began with Abraham. Remember, we were reading the story of Abraham, who was called by God to leave his homeland. God said, Come on, Abraham, come with me. Bring your family. I've got some place for you to go. What did Abraham do? He did it. And that was a great story. We read that over several weeks. We heard of the saga of Abraham being promised a son. Eventually, he would have a son, despite being very old. His son Isaac gave him, one of the descendants that came from Isaac was Jacob, who we read about today. The other was Esau. God had decided that the blessing would go through Jacob, which really is the lineage of the Savior. The Messiah would come through a certain path, and this is something that God worked out. And despite human intervention, God's plan was able to continue on. And I think that's a lesson for us all. If God wants something to happen, even though he involves our cooperation, I mean, he involves us in the plan and our free will is involved in it, he can still make good come out of any evil or incorrect, if you will, choices that we make. So don't get too hung up over, am I supposed to, what if I feel God's calling me to do this and I go out and do it and it doesn't work? If I do the wrong thing, can it be fixed? Yes, it can be fixed. Obviously, if we want to do God's will, we want to discern and spend some time with the Lord and pray about it and maybe consult somebody who might know more than we do. Is this the right thing to do? I feel God's calling me to start this business. I feel God's calling me to switch jobs. I feel God is calling me to enter the priesthood or the religious life. I feel God's calling me to marry this person. I feel God's calling me to buy this house. I mean, there's so many different things. Most big decisions, I would say all big decisions in life, we should at least give God the benefit of weighing in. Lord, is this what you want? Do you really want me to buy this car right now? See, a lot of times we don't do that. A lot of times we do what we want and we don't ask God, what do you want? How many times do you ask God, what do you want, Lord, before you make a big decision or a big purchase? A lot of times we don't, and we really should, because it does involve him. I mean, he doesn't care what you have for lunch, but he does care about these big decisions. And we can make wrong decisions, and I think so many times we can become paralyzed. We can become paralyzed and fail to act, fail to do anything because we think it might be the wrong thing. If you pray about it, if you think God's calling you to do something, try it. And then see what happens. If it's not meant to be, or even if you mess up, he can fix it. So here we see the Messiah, the Messiah will descend from the line of Jacob. And we see that beginning to play out today. And God makes some promises. He makes some promises to in a dream to Jacob. Know that I am with you. I will protect you wherever you go and bring you back to this land. I will never leave you until I have done what I promised you. By the way, they are some powerful words that you and I could listen to tonight. He's never going to leave us either. And I think that is something that we can't forget. It's way too easy to just focus on this as a historical event. Yes, God promised Jacob he would be with him. Well, he's making those promises to you today too. Scripture is addressed to us as well. And we have to remember that when we read this reading. So keep that in mind today. And there are a lot of details in here. I would recommend that you spend a little time rereading this. You can find these readings online at usccb.org, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops website. You might want to check that out and learn more about this. But again, this is, we're seeing God's plan play out. This is all out of love. This is being done out of love. God loves us so much that he is sending us a Savior. He's sending us a Savior to redeem us. And that Savior, Jesus Christ, has redeemed us. So you have been redeemed. I have been redeemed. However, I still need to cooperate with the grace that he gives me in order that I may be saved, in order that I can get to heaven. But it's still a pretty sweet deal, and one that we want to be thankful for. Psalm 91, in you, my God, I place my trust. A question for you. Do you place your trust in God? As you go through the day, are you placing your trust in God? Sometimes, maybe, right? Not all the time. You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will rescue you from the snare of the fowler, from the destroying pestilence. With his pinions he will cover you, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Because he clings to me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he acknowledges my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in distress. This is a reminder for us all that the Lord is, he wants to take care of us. He wants to take care of us as we go through our lives. It's going to be a series of ups and downs. Could be a bumpy road at times. The Lord never promised that we would not have any problems. But what he promised numerous times is that he will never desert us. He's going to be there with us. And he will help us. I have seen things in my life, in fact, in the past month or two, things that I have prayed about, things that really looked hopeless, have started to turn around. And again, you know, sometimes you think, oh, this is it. This is my answer. God has answered me. This is wonderful. And then you'll get some more bumps in the road. It won't be an exact answer that all of a sudden wipes out everything that you were concerned over. Doesn't always happen like that, but you begin to see progress. And that's what you want to look for. You want to look for these signs of the Lord's providence, that he comes to your assistance, to our assistance, and does take care of us. Gospel today, Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. While Jesus was speaking, an official came forward, knelt down before him, and said, my daughter has just died, but come, lay your hand on her, and she will live. Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. A woman suffering hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the tassel on his cloak. She said to herself, if only I can touch his cloak, I shall be cured. Jesus turned around and saw her and said, courage, daughter, your faith has saved you. And from that hour, the woman was cured. When Jesus arrived at the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd who were making a commotion, he said, go away. the girl is not dead but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. When the crowd was put out, he came and took her by the hand, and the little girl arose. News of this spread throughout all the land. Here we see an example of God, of Jesus doing a miracle. There are actually two miracles here. We see the woman suffering a hemorrhage being healed. She just touches Jesus. She's healed. Also, we see Jesus healing the synagogue official's daughter, even though the people were laughing at Jesus, saying, oh, you're crazy. You can't do this. Here's what you need to remember, a couple things from this. Number one, if people laughed at Jesus, do you think they're not going to laugh at you when you try to put your faith in the Lord? They are going to laugh at you. They're going to think you're silly. And they're going to tell you you are being naive or you're being a dreamer. God created the entire universe out of nothing. He can do all things. Don't ever lose that hope and continue to ask him, fully expecting people to criticize or to discourage you. That's going to happen. It happened to Jesus. It will certainly happen to you. But don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Continue to ask, because we see these examples of the Lord performing miracles in what seem to be hopeless situations. It really comes to light when we look at that first reading, the story of Jacob, and how he will ultimately do what God will protect him. God will protect him, and he will, because of his trust in the Lord, he will begin to see the promises. They're going to take a long time to unfold. It was several thousand years before the Savior actually did experience, was born and come into the world. But God promised it. He came through on his promise. Don't ever lose hope. When we come back, we are going to be joined by Bobby Schindler to talk a little bit about the Charlie Gard case. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to The Gary Zimek Show on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. The Tim Allen sitcom Last Man Standing once told a story that involved the characters Kyle, who is religious, and Ryan, who is an atheist. Ryan has been unsuccessful at getting his 9-year-old son Boyd to admit he stole candy from a store. But after Kyle babysits, the boy finally admits the truth, and he says it's because Kyle told him about Jesus. Ryan gets upset because he assumes that Kyle told Boyd that an angry God would punish him for lying. But Kyle explains, Boyd was scared that if he told you what he did, you wouldn't love him anymore. I said you were like my friend Jesus. Even if I do something bad, as long as I'm honest, he still loves me. A humbled Ryan thereby learned a lesson about the mercy of God. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Bobby, fill us in. First of all, thank you so much for making the time for us to come on the program live from London. What's going on, Bobby? What's the latest in this case?
Well, there's a hearing today, and I guess the one of more significance is going to be on Thursday, where the family is going to be able to present evidence to the court where they're going to show that there is some treatment available to try and help their son, Charlie. I guess this is information that the court has not been aware of or have seen yet.
Okay.
So the family's feeling pretty confident that when the court sees this, they're going to agree to at least try to give Charlie a treatment. And that's what we're hoping for, and hopefully the courts will do the right thing.
And Bobby, you did have a chance. Initially, you were denied the ability to visit with the family and the baby, but you did have a chance to visit with them. How are their spirits now?
Well, you can tell, you can imagine, it's thick and emotional.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just this day-to-day of not knowing whether his son's going to live or die, or if the hospital's going to decide to remove the vent. It's just it's emotionally draining. And so it was, and being in the room to visit with Charlie was very moving. It was very emotional to see that little boy. But they're holding up. I mean, they're a strong family. They're fighting for their son, and we just want to let them know that there's millions of people that are supporting them around the world, and I've been through, and our family's been through something similar, and
that's
want
right.
to be here and let them know that we're here to support them.
And that's so we're so grateful that you are there, and we are praying for you, brother, and we're going to keep asking people to pray. And Bobby, just to make sure that I understand this, you know, when I listen to this case, the details of this case,
it boggles my mind that the family has raised the money to be able to go to the United States for this experimental treatment, which has some, they are being given hope, but the government is saying, no, you can't use your own money to do that?
Yes, exactly. I mean, you can get distracted with all types of hypotheticals, but if you stay focused on the issue here, it's really about parental rights.
Right.
The family should have every right to make these type of treatment decisions for their son, and they're being told no. The hospital is imposing, and the courts are imposing their values on this little boy, and not allowing the parents to do what they want to do, and they have the means, and they have the doctors that want to assume treatment, so why? And I think people are standing back. Reasonable people would agree. They're standing back and saying, why not? Why aren't you letting the parents provide this treatment in this case?
What is the logic of the courts for not allowing them to do this?
It's hard to know. What I said earlier, Gary, that the courts didn't have all the evidence. Nevertheless, they did decide on with removing this young boy's ventilator. But nevertheless, I mean, I think from the position of the hospital, And this is what we're seeing more and more back in the States. And I don't know if it's exactly what the hospital was doing, but it just seems to be cost-driven. It's a lot cheaper to end someone's life than it is to keep them alive in certain situations. And I think many decisions that are being made today, denial of care, in place of parents' decisions or in place of surrogate's decisions, are cost-driven. So,
that's what
we do as our nonprofit is trying to kind of raise this awareness and advocate for patients and families that are in these types of positions.
You know what's really scary? We're watching this. We're saying, oh, well, they have socialized medicine. This is the reason it's happening over in England. But we're seeing it here, too, aren't we?
Well, we are. And it's because of, well, it's just it's kind of what I was just talking about with the cost of healthcare today. And I think there's definitely a push to find ways to deny care, perhaps in situations where hospitals. There's all kind of dynamics involved, Gary. It's hard to paint a brush with. But specifically, we look at cases individually and see what's going on. And a lot of times, the family's not asking for anything unreasonable. They're asking for reasonable treatment, and the hospital's coming in saying no. And it's just hard to figure, and it boggles your mind the position of hospitals and why they're deciding that they're going to take things into their own hands and end treatment. So. People need to start knowing their rights and becoming strong advocates if they are in charge of caring for somebody.
And from what I understand, there is some evidence that this treatment that Charlie could receive, it may help him. I mean, is that correct? There's evidence that it may be beneficial.
That's my understanding.
Right.
And the parents have had this; they've known about this treatment for some time, and it's just a tragedy. This whole time, this young boy, Charlie could have been receiving this helpful treatment, but he's been languishing in this hospital because the hospital has been so adamant and hell-bent on carrying out this order to remove his ventilator. So I think unless this family did what they did and got the whole world support behind them, the Pope, the President, everybody's in support of this family. And it's really put a lot of pressure on the hospital to take another look at this, and now they're going to get a chance to help their son.
Yeah, Bobby, what's your plan of action? Do you plan to stay?
I'm going to be here today, and then I'm going to have to get back to the States.
Okay.
But obviously, I'll stay in touch with the family, and I hope to see him in New York. I hope the court, as I said, gives them the ruling they're hoping for, and if they do, I think Charlie will be on his way to New York before too long.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? You can be assured of our prayers, both for your work and for the family. And I want to thank you for always being willing to come on the program and for being a regular voice on this show. We are so grateful to have you, my friend.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for the invitation. I really do. I'm very grateful for the time.
All right, Bobby. God bless you, my friend. And if you want to follow Bobby's work, you can do that by going to lifeandhope.com on the internet, so you can find out more about what he's doing at the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network. Dave, that was powerful.
Yeah, very powerful. And just imagine yourself in the parents' shoes, and there are many. They have many friends and allies over there that are coming to rally around Charlie Gard and the parents, to include Bobby. You know, and as Bobby mentioned, I mean, it doesn't hurt to have the Pope and the president of the most powerful country on the planet, President Trump, to weigh in. And so good. Make hospital, take a second, third, fourth look, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And why would you want to end, you know, this life prematurely? And in my mind, and this is my opinion, Dave Parker, again, it's cost-driven, number one, and two, you know, it's coming from a purely science, you know, medicine, and they're playing God. And they think, well, okay, he's not doing very well. It's time for him to go. It's not their decision,
right? Right.
And in my opinion,
right. And what? And I'm going to read this quote again from Charlie's mother. Charlie's mother, Connie Yates. Here's what she said: "He's our son. He's our flesh and blood. And we feel that it should be our right as parents to decide to give him a chance at life." And she goes on to say, "For a medication that is just an oral medicine, no known major side effects. You know, there is nothing to lose. He deserves a chance."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, wow.
And it could be you. Could be me. At anyone. I mean, he's a young child, but just think of the state doing that and playing God and saying, "Okay, right. Now it's not worth keeping this person alive."
Right.
Okay, because
right.
It's going to cost us so X amount of money, and then here we go. Okay, it's time for him to go. So pull the plug. It's that is not their decision, in my opinion, and that's the crux of this whole argument,
right?
Writ large, worldwide.
Right. That's right, and we need to continue to get that message out, and we will continue to do so. So we're so grateful that Bobby and many of these other pro-life individuals are a part of Spirit mm-hmm. in the Morning, because we want to make sure that you're informed,
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, I think that's the first step that we all need to take. We need mm-hmm. to be informed. We need to hear what's going
mm-hmm.
on.
Exactly.
And we need to picture, as a dad, mm-hmm. I can't picture if this would have happened with my children. My daughters, Mary and Elizabeth, they were born 3 months premature,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and they are alive today because they were given the care that they needed in the NICU mm-hmm. when they were born. My mother, who has Alzheimer's, is alive today because she's been on a feeding tube for the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, it can conceivably get to the point in this country where mm-hmm. the insurance companies and the doctors get together and say, "No, we are not paying. You are." And furthermore, as in the case of Charlie Gard's situation, I don't care if you have the money. You mm-hmm. are not allowed to get him treatment.
Yeah, yeah,
I
really.
Mean, that's unimaginable yeah. as a parent.
Mm-hmm. They're hamstringing the parents who have the wherewithal to do this.
Right.
And just think of those parents that don't have the wherewithal.
Good point.
I mean, and it's, you know, it runs the gamut of the situation. But again, it comes down, folks, to, you know, it's a life, you know, it's
yes.
a life from the good Lord, you know, and from conception to natural death is our belief, and we must fight for it. We must throw down when we have to throw down and take a stand to make sure, like Bobby is. And
that's
God
right.
bless
what a,
Bobby.
What a good man. He just took off, went over to England because he mm-hmm. thought he could do some good, and he is doing some good. So we appear to be winning this battle. Stay tuned mm-hmm. for more information. You can follow Bobby. He's putting out live updates on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, you can follow mm-hmm. him there. You can follow him on Twitter. And you can be assured that we will give you all the latest information right here at Holy Spirit Radio as well. But keep praying. Keep praying. With God, all things are possible. Don't ever lose hope that God can do everything.
Did Jesus ever claim to be God? Or did his followers later come to think he was divine, like it was for the Buddha? Critics of Christianity affirm the latter. But is this true? The answer is no, and here are some reasons why. First, the idea of Jesus' divinity had to have come from Jesus himself, because it doesn't make sense that faithful monotheistic Jews would just out of the blue begin thinking a man was God. Second, the Gospels record Jesus saying things that suggests his divinity. For example, he applies the divine name, I Am, to himself in John chapter 8, verse 58. Mark 2, 5-7 tells us Jesus merited the charge of blasphemy by claiming to have power to forgive sins. So, Jesus claimed to be God. That's a fact. But should we believe him? Well, that's a question for some other time. I'm Carlo Broussard with a ready reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Thank you, Carlo Broussard. Welcome back to the Gary Zimak Show. That is all the time we have for today. I want to thank you for listening. Remember, for more information about my work, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Thanks for listening. And always remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, the Lord's with you. Just make sure you turn around and say hi. God bless you. We'll talk to you next time. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.